Well, what does it say before you even speak that half your audience gets up and leaves?
Wow.
No, they came to worship with us, and they're going to go back and they're going to do their class. But man, well, if you guys couldn't, I don't know if y'all could hear them singing. Man, that was so awesome. Oh man, it got me so pumped up today just hearing the kids up here on this front row sing so loud. And you guys were singing as well, but that was awesome. And so if you didn't get to hear them, well, maybe you ought to move up next time and catch them and come up there and sit with me. But anyway, my name's Ron, and if I hadn't met you, I'm the lead pastor here, and hope before you leave I'll get to talk to you. But we've been in a series titled "Who Do You Think You Are?" and we've talked about several things about being a masterpiece. And last week, Pastor Eddie did just a great job talking about being an overcomer, and what an awesome thing that was last week for him to be able to speak and be here in my place. Kelly and I, my wife Kelly and I, got to go out and to Asheville to a Weekend to Remember marriage conference. And let me just say, married couples, if you've never been to one of those or anything like that, you need to go. It's an awesome thing, and it will change your perspective on marriage. It will take you back to the beginning, where, you know, the giggly, googly-eyed days where, you know, it was just cool to be dating this person, and God, I'm going to marry them, and just be able to go back and start fresh and look at it from a whole different perspective. So listen, if you hadn't been to one, let me just tell you, you come see me, and I will figure out a way to get you there. If you can't afford it, we'll figure out how to make that happen. There's one coming to Charlotte, and you know, we'll get you there. Just I don't know what that means, but God told me to say it, so I'm saying it. So if you want to go, you come. We'll figure it out. But it is definitely worth the time. And thank you for those that helped us be able to go and to be able to just spend that time and just grow our marriage. So thank you for that. So here's this series, because talking about last weekend for us really helps kind of get in. There's this idea that we've been talking about in the series. It's that when you know who you are, you'll know what to do, right? That's what we started the whole theme of this series, is that when we know who we are, we'll know what to do. And so last week, a lot of time was spent on, and we actually met separately, and it was about who am I as a husband and father, and who is Kelly as a wife and mother? And most importantly, it's the husband and wife part first, because if we can't be a good husband and wife, we can't be a good parent. I know some people would argue with that, but I'm just telling you that really, the relationship begins there, and kids come out of that. So if we can't get the first part right, then we're going to struggle with the other, no matter how much we love them and care for them. It's biblical. So I'm not, don't get mad at me for it. That's just how it goes. So if I know who I am as a husband, then I'll know what to do. And that's what we've been looking at in this whole series. Now, let me just tell you that as I say that, though, some of you sit here and you're divorced. Some of you are separated. Some of you are going through difficult times. So don't be discouraged by that statement. Just know that there is encouragement that comes, and there is hope in all of that. So wherever we go today, we're always going to point back to hope. And no matter what we talk about, no matter what we're going to say, no matter how deep we have to dig into some difficult parts of life, you guys, we need to always know there is always, always hope. Jesus made that possible. So I know nobody amen that, but whatever. So it's true, all right? It's true. We always have hope. So let's talk about this week kind of where we go from here, because when we know who we are, we'll know what to do. A pastor friend of mine tells a story, and see, we need to all understand that we are people of influence. How many of you believe that you are a person of influence? Right? See, a lot of you aren't going to raise your hand because you're real introverted, you're real quiet, you're real shy, and all of that. But let me just tell you that Jesus says that you're an influencer, right? And I'm not going to say influencer a bunch today, because in the walkthrough I kept saying influencer. All right, so I won't say that. So you're a person of influence, not an influencer. Yeah. So if you're an influencer, you're sick and you need to go get medicine. Okay. That's. So anyway, my little brain is running around. So we are people of influence. And so a pastor friend of mine tells a story about going, he goes and does a funeral. And in the, at this funeral is a lot of people of influence in the community, a lot of well-known people who have, just high-ranking, highly visible positions. And so one of the guys that was there happened to be an attorney in town, a local attorney, and he was known to be sort of a wild guy and not such a nice guy and not such a, you know, a guy that people would want to be around, you know, your typical attorney. But that's a joke. Don't take that personal. This guy just was somebody nobody wanted to really be around and be known to be around. But at this funeral, the pastor says some things that gets this guy thinking. And so he calls his office later that week and says, "Hey, can we get together can we have lunch one day?" And the pastor's like, "Sure, we can do that." So they meet at a restaurant. It's lunchtime. It's busy. And so the hostess says, "Hey, we don't really have a table. Do you mind if we sit you at the bar?" And the guy that he was with said, "No, no problem." So they go and they sit down at the bar. And so they're sitting there talking and they're kind of going through. And all of a sudden the thoughts hit the pastor. What are people going to think if they see me sitting at this bar? What are people going to think if they see me sitting here with this guy who is not well-known, who's not very well-liked, who's known to be a sinner? What are people going to think? You know, I mean, I've had the same response. I've had the same situation, the same response, finding myself there. And this guy did. The words of Jesus hit him like that happened with me. It's just sitting there. And Jesus said this. He said that it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's reminded of the words that, listen, we're not here to help the healthy people. We're here to help the sick people. You know, that's what Jesus came for, was because we were all sick in our sin, and he had to come to help us all. He didn't come to help the self-righteous, the ones who thought they had it all figured out. He came to help the ones who were willing to accept him and believe him and trust him. And so the pastor's sitting here, he gets this thought, he realizes that, you know what, so what? And so they have this great conversation. He's able to share with this guy. And so they leave. And he hadn't even made it back to his office before the phone had rung of people calling the church to let them know that their pastor was sitting at the bar at the restaurant with a sinner. Now, think about that. For most of us in the room, I think we're probably pretty much like, "Are you kidding me?" Right? But it happens. And so here's the deal. This pastor sitting there having a conversation with somebody who doesn't know Jesus, who's able to share his faith with him, who's able to answer questions, who's able to help him lead him closer to a relationship with Christ. But all some people were worried about was, here's the pastor at the bar at the restaurant with somebody who's not the best guy to be around. Now, that's how that goes. Now, what should those people have been doing? They should have been praying for him, shouldn't they? They should have been praying for the pastor to have the words to say, to share with this guy, praying for the guy to have an open heart, to be able to hear and receive it and share it. It didn't matter if they were sitting at the bar or they were sitting at the altar of the church. It's the fact that Jesus was ready to move in this guy's life and people were too worried about other things. And so we need to be very careful that we take the influence away that Christ can have by being worried about who we think people are supposed to be. I had an opportunity, and while Kelly and I were in Denton, we had a couple that attended the church that it was a same-sex couple. And they had come and said, "Hey, can we come to your church?" I said, "Absolutely." Right? Because where else did I want them to be? Right? I wanted them to be there to hear the word. It was for everybody. So we allowed, they came. I hate to even say the word that we allowed them to come. That sounds terrible. But they came. And they spent time with us. And I spent time ministering to them and sharing with them and letting them understand what the Bible says and not what Ron thinks or whatever, but just what does the Bible say? Had great opportunities to lead them closer to a relationship with Christ. And one family found an issue with it and began a whole campaign, and it's literally split our church in half. They were too worried about who was there and what their life was all about, rather than that somebody was there that needed Jesus, and that's where we have to put our focus. Listen, we all have opportunities to have influence in people's life like that, not just in the church, but wherever you go. Wherever it's you work, you go to school, wherever you exercise, wherever you whatever. We have opportunities to do that, and we need to be able to understand that we are to be something in this world that Jesus has called us to be. And listen, when we know who we are, we'll know what to do, and it won't be to focus on the negative stuff of life. It'll be to focus on who God is and who He wants to move, how He wants to move in people's lives and see them changed for all eternity. Amen, Ron. Yeah, thank you. So, don't nobody else do it. Jesus said, if we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. If y'all won't amen me, I'll amen myself. So, whatever. You know, that's just the way it goes. So, anyway. So, here's the thing. That Jesus has made it very clear that we are to be a couple of things to this world. He says, you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. That is a massively important statement that you and I need to understand if we're believers and followers of Jesus Christ, that we are to get this so that we can then do the things that we are to do in this world. It's a big part of who we are in our identity in Christ, that we're salt of the earth and light of the world. He says this in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Anybody like to drink a Coke that don't fizz? No, they're just nasty, right? Who wants to eat salt that don't have saltiness? It says it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You, listen up, you are the salt of the earth. You're going to be salty. You know, not the grumpy salty. You're going to be the good salty. The salty that brings things that adds to rather than takes away. You see what we're, I mean, this whole series, who do you think you are? It's about adding to. If you hadn't caught on yet, it's about adding to who we are so that we understand that Jesus adds to us. He doesn't take away. Now, some people would argue that, yeah, He takes away sin. I get that. But you see what I'm, but to do what He wants us to do, He brings it. And He brings it to us. Salt has so many things. If you were to say this and go to the context of this, people understood that salt was the second most important commodity on the earth at this point. The other was the sun, because you had to have light to grow things and everything. The salt was the second because of all the things that it did and all the things it was used for. It was so important in here that people were paid with salt. You know, we get the, you know, he's not worth his weight in salt or whatever. You know, we've heard those sayings, he's not worth his salt. That means that you ain't worth getting paid for nothing. You're sorry. You're lazy. You're no good. Right? That's what that means. But to be worth your salt means that you work hard. You're valuable. And so you and I are to be salt. We're to be this important piece of our surroundings. We're not just here to exist. We're not just to be. Because listen, if we don't have saltiness, we're no good. We're going to be thrown out, trampled by men. It's a pretty important statement. Jesus was saying, listen, this is, you know, if you're the salt of the earth, you're to be important. If you know, if you got paid your weight in salt or whatever, you'd be a good old boy that was worth something. Jesus saying, listen, if you know the good old God, then you're a good old boy or girl, and you're worth something. And you need to understand that that's where this comes from. What does salt do? It preserves. It preserves. If you're a Christian, you should be a divine preserver. You should be helping people find eternal life so that they can exist for all eternity. A relationship with Christ brings eternal life. So we are to be preservers to this world. To help people understand that. Salt purifies. In a very impure world, you and I are to be something that God uses to bring purity, to bring that brings goodness to our surroundings, that brings goodness into this world. We're to help purify this, representing the kingdom of God and the holiness in this world that we live in. Listen, it doesn't take you don't have to go far to find impurity. It's not hard to find it. But it is getting pretty hard to find purity. It's getting pretty hard to find somebody that wants to be the salt that purifies. Salt creates thirst. It creates thirst. Why do you think if you go to a restaurant or you go sit at the bar, they're going to bring you peanuts? Because peanuts are what? Salty. What does salt do? It makes you thirsty. So what do? You buy more to drink. And your tab goes up. So they make more money. The tips get bigger. Everybody wins. Except you when you wake up the next morning, right? So, go to El Ranchito today. They're going to bring out chips after chips after chips. Because they got a bar there. They don't want you drinking the water. It's a Mexican restaurant. Anyway, sorry. That's some of y'all get that later and be like, ha, ha, ha. No, anyway, so, but they bring out the chips and the salsa and it's to get you going so that you'll keep drinking, right? I know some of you want that salt on your margarita, but listen, they're tricking you a whole lot different way, all right? So salt creates this thirst. You and I are to be this salt that creates a thirst of people around us for God in their life. To have the holiness and the goodness of Jesus flowing in them, you and I are to be part of creating that. When we're the salt of the earth and when we know who we are and we know what to do, then we create a thirst around us for people to know Him and want to grow in their relationship. Salt melts. You know, the little bitty snow we got, go out and put a little salt on that. It was gone in no time this year, right? So, but we put this salty mixture on there because there's a chemical reaction that happens and it creates this heat and it melts it away. You and I are to be the salt that melts away the hard hearts of people. That through our relationship, through understanding the salt that we are to be, that we are able to help people come to know who God is and who He wants to be in their life. We're to help melt those bad attitudes and those hearts of people who have grown cold and callous. We have a responsibility in that. And then finally, salt heals. You get a boo-boo on your knee and you go in the ocean, what happens? It gets infected and falls off in the water today. But if salt water works like it used to before all the stuff got dumped in it, it would heal it up. Salt heals. It brings this healing that comes. I remember I still do, actually, shouldn't lie and say I'm over it. But I still bite my fingernails. I used to get these terrible hangnails when I was a kid, and they would get all pussy and nasty, and my mom would put hot water with salt in it and make me stick my hand, and I would scream and holler, and it wasn't hot water, but it was just the whole thought of it, But she used to make me soak my finger in it to get it so it would heal up, and I know that's nasty, but you get the point. It was the salty water that would get in there and heal that up. And that's what salt does. It heals. And we're to be the salt that comes in. Listen, our world is hurting. Anybody know somebody hurting? If you got Facebook, you got people hurting around you. I promise. It doesn't take long to find them. But we've got hurting people, and we're to be that salt that comes in. God uses us to bring healing in and be able to help them understand who He is so that He can, we can't do the healing, but He can through us. We're to be that healing agent. We're to be the salt of the earth, to be filled with the Spirit of God that allows this world to see something completely different than what they see everywhere else. Jesus goes on in Matthew 5 and verse 14. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house." And in the context of this, people would have understood that they only had one window, and so they often still had to burn candles during the day. But then, but when they would do it, what they wouldn't do would to be put it under something that would cover up the light, because then it didn't do anything good. You and I need to understand that we're not to be covered up. We're not to take our light and put it under a bowl, but we are to instead put it on a stand and let it shine for the world. To let people see that light. Verse 16 says, in the same way, Jesus is telling us, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Here's where we've gotten off track. Instead of putting our light on a stand for the whole world to see, we've gotten to a place where we put everything else on a stand for people to see. We've gotten good at not putting our light up there, but putting everything else out there. Facebook and social media is one of those things where you broadcast everything, you know, whatever. But the truth is that it's not those things that we're to illuminate. It's Christ in us. If we would illuminate Christ in us, I tell you, a lot of that stuff that we get stuck in would go away. And we would bring something to this world that Christ wants to use and to bring through us. We need to be able to do that. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. When you know that you are the light of the world, then you'll know that you're to burn bright. That you're not just that your relationship with Christ isn't just a personal thing. That doesn't jive biblically, y'all. We've gotten so good at, I don't want to force that on my kids. Listen, let your light shine before your kids. You won't have to force nothing on them. We've got to be able to realize that when we know who we are, we'll know what to do. Say this with me. Say, I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. Do you believe that? Really, do you believe it? Because listen, when you say you do, guess what that does? That brings in an accountability to this whole thing. That now you are the salt. That means you're going to be salty. That if you say you're the light, then that means you're going to be bright and you're going to shine. Listen, nobody's going to get it perfect all the time. But our responsibility is that we're to be as salty as we can be, as much of the time as we can be, and we're to burn bright as we can, as long as we can, and as much as we can. Because that's who we are. And when we know who we are, what? We'll know what to do, right? So that's where we're at. And so it's important that we get this. People say, but you know what, Ron, if I could just learn more about the Bible, I could be a lot saltier. It's not what he says. He just says you are the salt of the earth. Now, I would agree with that to a point, but he says you're the salt regardless of how much you know about the Bible. He said, if I could just learn a little bit more, I could burn so much brighter, Ron. Just burn bright where you are. You know who if you are a follower of Christ, that means that you know that Jesus came, he's God's son, came to earth and gave his life on a cross. That he came to be a sacrifice for your sins, that he paid the price for them on a cross. That he came off, that was taken off that cross, he was put into a tomb. On the third day, he was raised again from the dead. Listen, if you are a follower of Christ, you know that death on the cross paid the price for your sin. Right? And that by his death on there, that the price is paid, it's done. He said it's finished, to tetelestai, it's all done. So you realize that. And then you know that as he's taken off the cross and he's buried, that on the third day, God in all his love and power reaches down and raises him from the dead. That now you're not only forgiven of your sins now, that death paid the price now, but that has restored you in a relationship with God for all eternity. That's what the scripture says. So we need to understand that, because of that, if you are a believer in Jesus and are a follower of Him, then that means you believe that and know that. And let me just tell you, if we would just live that out, this world changes incredibly. And then we can get into all the other things. You know, then we could maybe start memorizing, you know, the Ten Commandments and try to live them out. Maybe, you know, then we can get all that stuff, get to know a little bit more. But listen, if you know Jesus, you know all you need to know. Doesn't mean you don't quit. You shouldn't stop growing. Don't mean, you know, don't get all high and mighty about that. But it means you know everything you need to know to be salt and to be light. You just got to live that out. So we're to make a difference. How do we make a difference? First thing is this: let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let it shine brightly. Some of us, you know, you see people and they're just trying to make their light shine. You know, it's kind of like they make a weird face. You know, you ever seen Christians? They're just trying to make it grow. It looks like they're about to do something else. You know, it's going to make a mess. They're just trying to make their light shine. They just want it to shine, and they're just, you know. Some of our churches are so angry because they want their light to shine and it can't shine. It's because they're trying to make it shine. You don't have to try. If you know Jesus and you let Him be Jesus in your life, your light will shine brightly for this world to see. It will change lives. Let it shine. Let Jesus be Jesus in your life. Let Him be your Savior. Let Him be the one who's given it all for you. Turn it over to Him. I can tell you, this week I began reading this through this devotional. It's called Draw the Circle. And it's about drawing a circle and beginning to pray for the one in the circle. Now that sounds really selfish in a lot of ways. But let me just tell you that it's not the prayer for, oh God, give me the new car and the fancy clothes. And it's not the give me everything I want prayer. It's begin to search out who God is and pray for the one in the circle that you'll be broken down, that you'll come to a place of understanding who God is and who He's created you to be and what does He want to do next in your life. And it brings you to a place that you're like, man, I thought I had this pretty well in check, but God's cleansing some stuff out of me. And this week has been... it's been really difficult because I've been, you know, I told somebody earlier this week, I said, I can't believe I got to preach on salt and light this week after all the stuff that God's done to show me how unsalty I am and how dim my light has really been. You know, I thought it was bright. I thought I was really good and salty. And then He began to say, well, what about this, Ron? What about that? And as He began that process, it was difficult. Because I realized that there's just things in my life that no matter how much I've been trying and all that, you know, I've been trying to make my light shine. It just wasn't working. Because that's not what it's about. It's about having this relationship with Him and letting Him just be. It's like forcing my wife to let me be her husband. Man, that's not going to work. I'm your husband, and I'll be that until I tell you otherwise. How about that? Cast me outside. How about that? Sorry. I had to cleanse my brain after that one. I just lost brain cells after saying that. Anyway, so you should hear my daughter say it. It's really, my youngest, it's really funny. But, yeah, my youngest. So, anyway... so here's the thing. We've got to be able to let this happen. And God's been just cleansing stuff out of me and saying, look, you got to let your light shine, Ron. Let it shine. Don't try to make it. Don't try to be the light. You know, we can't be the light. There's a difference. We're the light of the world, but here's why we're the light of the world. Does the moon shine? Does it? I mean, when you look at it, it's nice and bright and full and beautiful. Lights up the whole place, though. It's not shining itself. It's reflecting the sun, right? That's why the moon is bright. It's reflecting the S-U-N. You and I are supposed to be bright because we're reflecting the S-O-N. We're to be reflecting Jesus for this world to see. And that's why we're the light, because He lives in us and we're to reflect Him to this world. We're to be a full moon all the time. Keep your pants up though now. They won't be good all. My pastor told me I could do that. No, that's not what I said. Yeah, some of y'all, I tell you. Y'all laughed really fast at that one because you were thinking it. We are to be reflecting Jesus everywhere we go. I think about this when I think about Paul and Silas. Here's two guys who were beaten time after time because of their faith in Jesus. And the Bible records a certain time where they had been beaten. And when we say beaten, you need to understand beaten for them was like dozens of times across the back with a whip with pieces of glass and bone in it. All right? This wasn't like mama got you one good time with daddy's belt. I'm talking about they got it. And so here they had been beaten, chained, and put in jail. And, you know, not some really cush, nice American jail. This was a Roman jail. It was nasty and dirty and the worst. And here they are chained in this. And this amazing thing happens. In Acts 16, verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening to them. Now, that's just amazing. Here are these guys who took that, and there they are singing and worshiping and praising God. Man, we have a bad day, you know, and we fall to pieces. And these guys have had a really bad day, and they're praising God. Bloody and nasty and all of that. There they are. They didn't say, you know what, maybe we should have a Bible study so the guards would see it. Maybe we should start quoting Scripture. Maybe we should, you know, we should talk about, you know, how much we gave or whatever. They didn't talk about any of that. No, they just started singing and praising God right where they are. And something amazing happens. Here they are reflecting the S-O-N. You know, you and I learned a really cool song a long time ago for most of us that grew up in church. We learned this little song that really signifies what these guys were doing, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Right? Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Some of y'all little vacation Bible schoolers. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Come on, join in. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Huh? Yeah. Well, at least I didn't make you eat grass this time. Remember that? Here's the thing. We learned this little bitty song that I have sung over and over and over this week. Okay? I can't get it out of my head, and I hope my prayer has been that you won't either. It's been in my head. I've been whistling it all over the place. I mean, just out of the blue. But here's why. Because I think God's been using that song this week to just mold me and make me and use this little bitty thing that I learned when I was this high to still make me into the man and the follower of Jesus that He wants me to be. You have a light. If you are a follower of Jesus, you got a little light and you need to let it shine. Here's the thing. If your light's not shining, one of two things is happening. You've hidden it under the bushel, or you've let Satan blow it out. And I believe that the church has come dangerously close to letting Satan blow our candles out, because we've just allowed him to come in and have such a way in our own lives. Because listen, if he blows your candle out, that puts pressure on my candle. He blows my candle out, that puts pressure on your candle. And so on down the line. And if we keep all just, you know, letting him blow our candles out or putting it under a bushel and hiding it, then listen, it's going to start getting darker and darker and darker. Light runs darkness out, y'all. It runs it away. And so we need to be that light. Acts 16 verse 26 says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaking. At once all the prisoners' doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw all the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners escaped. Man, listen, this guy was about to, he's about to lay it out right there and be done with it, because he thought his life was over because, you know, he had failed. But listen, Paul shouted. He says, don't harm yourself. We're all here. We ain't going anywhere. Listen, you need to know that God's moving and we ain't leaving. There was something going on there. They were letting their light shine, and God began to do something amazing. If you and I will let our light shine, God will do some amazing stuff. If you want to see people in your life come to know Jesus, then let your light shine and he'll move. Because here's the point. Your light and light living changes lives. Your salt and light living changes lives. That when you let yourself live salty and brightly, that changes lives around you. I had that opportunity. I've talked about several times to work at Lowe's, kind of part-time. And I just, even this week, I was just reminded of the people that God gave me influence over. Listen, there were several of them that were homosexual. There were several of them who were living crazy lifestyles. There were several of them who was doing, and he just gave me influence into their lives. In fact, one of the people that you would think that would be least likely to befriend me, and for me and him, it was the one guy who gave me a going away card with a gift card in it, and we became really good friends. And most people would say, what in the world? When I left, the last day I worked there, I gave him a hug. And people were like, you hugging that guy? He probably liked it. No. He probably did, but not because of his sexual orientation. He liked it because he's probably never really had somebody love him like that. I mean, think about the opportunities that you and I have to love people that the world isn't loving. I know they think we hate them. I get that. That people think that as a church we don't, and quite frankly, there is some of the church that does, and I get that. But listen, for the most part, the church doesn't hate them. We talk about hate the sin, love the sinner all the time. But listen, we just really need to quit talking about hating the sin, and we just keep talking about loving the sinner. Just love people around you. That's being the light, and that's being the salt. I'm not saying that we accept any of that. Listen, I'm not. Don't hear me. I'm not shifting to the liberal side. Don't worry, you know, or whatever somebody's thinking. I just believe that if we'll just love people, man, God will give us this opportunity to be so salty and so bright that people can't help but to see Jesus in all of it. And I'm just renewed. I just have this renewed feeling in me that's what I want to be. I'm not special. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to do my best to be as salty and as bright as I can be. Not just in church. This is easy. It's easy to be salty with y'all and bright with y'all. But the Bible's very clear. This isn't where we're supposed to focus. It's out there where the message needs to be heard. See, it works like this. If we're to see this, I mean, listen, It's a dark world. And for me and you, this is really what it looks like. Guys, can I get you to help me out back there? There you go. So this is what the world really looks like. It's pretty dark, isn't it? But you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be this light. And you know what? I can see everybody in this room with this light. Little bitty light. I was at a conference and they handed these things out. I'm like, what in the world is this thing? What in the world could this do? You know, and what I realized was that thing's pretty bright. I could see all of you. It's even reflecting off some of these heads out there, but that's a whole other thing. But, yeah, that'd be nice. But here's the thing. What if you had one of these and everybody else had one of these? I mean, we put it up there. I can still see the back of the room from it. But what if we all pulled out our light? There you go. What if we all pulled out our lights and began to shine them together? What if you just said, you know what? Nobody else in my workplace is a Christian, but I'm going to be a light. And what if you just turned your light on and let it shine? What if you said, you know what? These are some unsalty people around here, but I'm going to be salty. I bet you could mess the whole place up in a good way. And so listen, you and I have a responsibility. Turn your light on. Let people see it. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Right? Just do it. All right, bring him back up. The jailer came out. He called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." If you let your light shine like that, people are going to come and say, "Man, what is it? What is it? I came to know Christ because I hung around a bunch of college guys who loved Jesus, and they had something I didn't have, but I wanted it." Are people looking at you and seeing something they don't have, but want it? Be salty. Be the light. But Jesus said, if you believe in me, that's what you are. God, today we pray that you would make it very clear to each of us, God, what we're to do. You've called us into this amazing thing. God, you came, you sent your son to Jesus to be here, to die on a cross, to pay the price for our sins. You allowed him to go through all of that because of your love for us. And though we didn't deserve it, God, you sent him to do that for us. You allowed him to be taken off that cross, put into a tomb. God, on the third day, you raised him from the dead to demonstrate your power over sin, over death, and to show us victory in you. God, you say when we believe that we become salt and we become light. God, help us to live that out. There's people in our families, God, that don't want anything to do with you because we've not been salty and we've not been light. God, give us opportunities to change that. God, I pray for people in our families specifically today. People who don't know Jesus, who don't know the salt and don't know the light. God, that haven't come to that place. God, I pray for each of us to have opportunities to share, to live out the saltiness, to live out this light so that they can see it very clearly. I pray for children of adults who need to know you. I pray for parents to be able to be salt and to be able to be light. I pray for coworkers to be able to be salt and light. I pray for classmates to be salt and light. I pray for for neighbors to be salt and light. I pray for those who shop at the same place to be salt and light. I pray for people who have kids that play on the same team to be salt and light. God, I pray that you would just help us, God, to not put our light under a bushel. God, if we just come in here week after week and we don't go out of here and do anything with it, we are putting our light under a bushel. And as the song says, no, not anymore. God, let us live for you. God, make us a change agent. Just like salt goes across that ice and it begins to change and break it down. God, may we be that for this world. God, can we quit shining our light on what we don't like and what we aren't? But God, can we shine our light on what we are? We're your children. And that you said, first, we need to love you, and second, we need to love our neighbors. And that everything else hangs on that. God, help us to leave this place renewed and energized and excited about it, with our bulbs burning as bright as possible. God, today there's people here who've never accepted you as their Savior. I pray first that they would come like their light. They would come get their salt, God, that they would come and begin a relationship with you. There's those here that have lost their saltiness and they've let their bulbs burn dim, God, but may they be renewed today. God, whatever you need to do in our lives, do it freely. In this next song, God, as we sing or as we bow, as we come and pray, whatever it is that we need to do, God, may you just have freedom to move in this place and that lives would be changed because of you today, God. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.